used to, back to our summer rains again, and boy, we get a lot of that now again. But it actually is good to have that back, and it's good to have you with us this morning. And a blessed Father's Day to all of our dads, our grandpas out there. I hope it is a special day for all of you today as we enjoy what God has given to us, the blessed gift of fathers. Just a couple of really quick things. First of all, I am going to be gone now this entire week. I'll be back for worship again for next weekend. But prayers on behalf of my wife's sister. The family has been summoned because she was in our prayers for a different reason a year ago, and her health has gotten very bad very, very quickly. And so I'm going to have to take her and her father up to Columbus, Ohio, but we'll be back in time for worship for next weekend. So her name is Andrea Nieradka. We also want to remember in our prayers Harry Van S. He was going to be becoming a permanent resident. Both Harry and Pat, they are going to be coming down here. They had sold their house up north. They were putting the finishing touches on everything, and then he suffered a fall. He's going to be a few weeks up there yet as he convalesces from that. But he has asked for prayers, and we'll certainly be glad to share that as we can. Just a couple things again. It is coming up on us quickly now, this nautical convention. For those that still want to be volunteers, there's an opportunity still to do that. Or also, again, since the convention has never been here before, will probably never be here again, if you would just like to go one day to that convention to see what convention proceedings are like, you're welcome to do that, but I will need to have you registered as a guest so that you can go down and be a part, because if they got your name, you'll be able to get the credentials that you need so that you can get into the convention center. But anybody that would like to do that, I always encourage those things. Some people might get into that, some people might not, but it is part of what our church has to do from time to time. And, of course, that is in late July. So, also, today is a script order day, so that script table with those gift cards, again, they cost us nothing. You ordered them today. They will be in for worship next weekend, and it does help benefit the ministries of our congregation. And we've learned that as we use the program, it just keeps benefiting us more and more. And that is the kind of benefit that can only help us as the years go by. So please do remember that. Of the other announcements that are in the announcements page, you can take a look at that. There is a little sheet that is in there about the national offering that is going to be a part, again, of the Synodical Convention. Now, I'm putting the initial one in this week. We'll put it in again in a few weeks, and then we'll actually go through that litany. We're not going to do that today. But do take a look at that. It's a national offering that is being gathered on behalf of our Synodical Convention that's coming down here in July. Okay, our opening hymn is number 905 in our Lutheran service book, Come Thou Almighty King. Starting next week, we go to that pre-service hymn sing. We'll talk more about that once we get into that. But as we prepare for our service, let's stand and greet one another in the peace of the Lord. God's peace. Good to have you here this morning. God's peace, Mike. Good to see you this morning. God's peace be with you. God's peace be with you and also with you. May God's peace be with you. Thanks for coming this morning. God's peace be with you. Good to see you this morning. May God's peace be with you. Good to see you. God's peace be with you. Good to see you. God's peace be with you. John, God's peace be with you. God's peace be with you. Good to see you. And also to you. May God's peace be with you. God's peace be with you. Good to see you this morning. God's peace be with you. And also with you. Good to see you this morning. God's peace be with you, Don. Good to see you this morning. Did you put gas in that thing? I almost wish you hadn't done that, but that's my own fault. I should have said something yet. Where'd you get it from? Oh, okay. Because my van has to have a certain kind of gas or it starts bucking and stumbling. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. No, it's my own fault. I didn't say anything. Thank you for the gas. We'll get by just fine. I could only use what's called top tier gasoline. So I'll just top it off in top tier and I think I'll be okay. Yeah. It works. You couldn't know that. Yeah. A person could, and I it's embarrassing you gotta do that nowadays, but God's peace be with you. God's peace be with you, so. May God's peace be with you. God's peace be with you. So. May God's peace be with you. Eddie, God's peace be with you. How you doing? God's peace be with you. Good to see you this morning. Thank you for being here this morning. Have you gotten the form for baptism yet? Or have you come up with a date? What are you thinking in terms of the date? Well, it's again, assuming that you've got to get a couple people who will be your sponsors here to serve as sponsors, if there's a date that works for them, that's usually what we have to defer to, believe it or not. What will work best for the sponsors? Because they're usually the hardest people to try to coordinate with something. So once you find a couple people that will serve as that, let's find some dates between, especially on a Sunday morning, that we can do either here as a part of our service or after worship, and I'll work out a schedule. And we'll visit after worship one of these next couple weeks about that once we get there. All right, thanks.
Thank you.
So God's peace be with you. Roseanne, God's peace be with you. Good to see you this morning. Oh, thank you. God's peace be with you. Thank you for that. And once you have returned to your seats, you may be seated for the hymn. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition together as his people. Let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray this prayer together. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith, and to worship the unity in the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith, and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament lesson for Holy Trinity, the first Sunday after Pentecost, is written in Proverbs chapter 8. Wisdom personified recalls creation and God's delighting in humanity. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals she cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call. And my cry is to the children of man." The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is from Acts 2. Peter continues his Pentecost sermon, the first part of which was read last weekend, proclaiming that Jesus is both Christ and Lord. St. Luke writes, Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed the gathered crowd. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The Jews answered Jesus, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father. You dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, 'He is our God.' But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the gospel of our Lord. Almost every week, my friends, I share with you my wish that the mercy of God, the grace of God, the peace of God be with you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I hope you understand what an amazing gift each one of those are, how it affects our lives, and how indeed it is something that can come only from him as he shares his best with each one of us. Friends, this is probably not the greatest compliment that can be paid to a pastor. But I have, from time to time, have been accused of somehow not effectively communicating what I'm trying to say. And you want to be clear, you want everybody to get what you're trying to say, but sometimes I just scratch my head. Here's a perfect example. My oldest daughter, it took her a lot longer to learn the art of driving than it probably did for a lot of people. But admittedly, she's never been in a major accident. And I can honestly say if she can learn how to drive and stay out of a major accident, probably a lot of people can. But there was this time when she and a couple of friends were going to be going and meeting some people in a city about 35 miles from my church. Ordinarily, you'd worry about such things because she's not very good with directions. But it's pretty simple because it was straight down the road here, 35 miles. And where they were meeting was just right on the road. And so she was just, "Well, now, how do I get there?" I said, you just go down the road here. I said, "There's two things you have to remember." I said, "Remember, down here," I said, "it's about 8 miles from here. You're going to come to a stop sign. It does look like the road ends there. All you do is turn right and make an immediate left turn. I mean, just that fast. It's just kind of a zigzag, and the road keeps on going straight. You'll go about another 15 miles. There's another stop sign, and the road going the other way goes off to the right, but the road for you goes straight ahead. All you got to do, just one little zigzag, and then straight ahead at the stop sign. You'll be there in no time." When she left, she drove down the road a half mile, turned right, and got hopelessly lost. Now, you tell me, where'd I go wrong? What did I fail to say or not say that had her just go right down here, not much farther than where these doors are, and take a right and get hopelessly lost? Somehow I don't remember that being in what I tried to share. At some point, they got themselves back to this point, and the friends that were with her ended up calling their dad and say, "Okay, how do you get to Bloomington? I don't remember what they said, he said, but it was something like, wait a minute, he said that and you could figure that out, but what I said to you made no sense? Well, perhaps as Christians, all of us today are hamstrung because we are trying to get people to understand the hope and the joy and the love that we have in our heart for Christianity, but it's something that's so foreign to them that we have got to try to explain and explain and explain, getting them to understand the understandable. And indeed, it is a challenge for us to be able to convince people that what we have is a message. And believe it or not, it is a message that is clear. While in some ways it is complicated beyond what anybody can understand, it is a simple message. And it is a message that is customized and personalized for them, for you. Now, I understand. As we try to let people know what our faith is all about, what Jesus is all about, who this God is God, that really does care for them, that really is, yes, their God as well as my God. We do have some things that kind of get in the way. Today we're going to be at this is Trinity Sunday, and one time a year we go through this long creed that's called the Athanasian Creed. And it's probably nice, but because of its length, we don't do it more than once a year. But it's probably critical that we go through it once a year because it does such a good job of trying to lay out who God is and then who Jesus Christ is. Although, here in the midst of this creed trying to explain it, when it is all said and done, we still call it, and I quote, the mystery of the Trinity. That somehow or another, no matter how much information we can share, no matter how much light we can shine on what it is that the Bible has told us about God, Triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there's a certain part that goes beyond our understanding, and it's frustrating to have to admit that. That of the greatest of theological minds, we reach a point where there's not much more we can share. But still, we are to share that God and what he has done for us. But that's not all that. That gets in the way. I mean, we've got all kinds of mysteries. For example, a little bit here, we're going to be taking the sacrament, the Lord's Supper. But the term for sacrament, even though we have come up with a really good and precise definition for what a sacrament is, and just as a quick summary, it's taking some of the simplest things of this world, through Jesus Christ, taking some of the simplest things of this world, like water, like simple unleavened bread, and what at that time was the easiest thing to be able to consume drink-wise, and that was wine, and placing into it the power of God. God giving us the best of his best while making it so simple for us, even we couldn't mess it up. And yet, the term sacrament also means mystery. But we have some things that also get in our way that are not mysteries, and one of them is, of course, our lives of sin. And sin does two things. Sin takes us away from keeping our hearts and our eyes and our minds fixed where they are supposed to be fixed, on what Jesus did, on what Jesus does for us, on how Jesus has forgiven us, has taken us as his own. But it also clouds our minds, keeps us from being able to see things that we should be able to see. Perhaps you have seen a couple of those special paintings that they paint where if you look at it one way, you see one thing. If you look at it another way, you see something completely different, and you can't see them both at the same time. Well, sometimes it seems like that's our faith, where there are just certain things that we should be able to see, but for whatever reason we can't. I might be wrong about this, but there's always been the side of me that has wondered that once we get to life everlasting, if there's not going to be some things about God that we're just going to want to whack ourselves in the head because it was there to see, and we just didn't see it. Now, I mean, even in the world of science, there's more that we're understanding about how the world works all the time. And, of course, all of that has come from God. And just maybe we're going to be learning a few more things that God himself has shared with us that we'll be able to see and we'll be able to share. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. If we are going to get people to understand the understandable, there are certain things that we have to direct ourselves to. And I think the first one is it's called an acronym, where each letter of a word stands for its own word. And one of my favorite things to do when I'm in confirmation, and some of my former confirmation students remember this, is when I look at them and I'll do that again. What'd they just do? That's a kiss. And at least the first three letters of kiss, K-I-S, keep it simple. Keep it simple. There was a song, it's almost 50 years old now. It was written and sung by a singer by the name of Ray Stevens, and if you remember that name, it just goes to show you that you're at least as old as I am. It was called Everything is Beautiful. But if you remember that song, do you remember how it began? It began with some children, and it sounded like it came right out of a Sunday school. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Children singing that song. And I'm just trying to imagine somehow that song sneaking into music today. And yet the message of that was simple. We, even in the midst of some of the most complicated teachings, things that theologians keep themselves up at night discussing back and forth, we teach little children the truth about what Jesus has done for us, and they get it. We can get them to understand who Jesus is, why he is so special in our lives, what he did, what it does for our lives. Let's never forget that in the midst of a faith that in some ways, with all that it includes, we could talk for generations, the utter simplicity of what God has done for us by giving us his Son in his love, who gave his life for us. Then if we're to understand the understandable, we also have to make sure that we get things in the right order. A number of years ago, I had needed a new charcoal grill. For the most part, I was going to go to a gas grill, but I still wanted a charcoal grill that I could kind of keep off to the side. It was a little bigger grill for when I had lots and lots of company over and stuff. And I had my eye on this one grill that was at a grocery store. It was a nice grill. But summer came. I believe it was a Kingsford grill. And summer came and went, and I never ended up buying that grill. I just decided it was too much money or something, until it came December 1st. That's up north where winter had begun, not like what we have down here. And December 1st, I had to go into that grocery store and buy a few things, and I'm in the back store, and a member of my church who worked at that store walked right in front of me with that grill inside of a box. And I'm like, what are you doing with that? Said in December, he said, well, this is the only one left. We didn't sell it, and I'm supposed to find a place in the back to keep it, because obviously at Christmas time we don't need to be selling grills. And I got this big smile on my face, and the first thing I'm like is, I wonder what it would cost so that you won't have to find a place to put that back there. And yeah, I got it for about half price, but I got it home, and for the rest of winter it sat. But finally, spring break came, my son was home for a weekend, my twin brother's boy also came down, because he didn't have much to do up where he lived, but I had plenty that he could do down with us. And so I had those two young men put that grill together. And at the end of the day, I went in, there is that grill nice and put together. And I said, well, how'd it go, guys? And they're like, well, it wasn't a lot of fun, because he said the instructions were some of the worst we'd ever seen. We get to instruction number 3, but before you can do number 3, you got to go down and do number 7. I'm like, oh, okay. So it's like, do this, but first, okay, there's a lot of people who, when they want to talk about the Christian faith, they don't want to start here, they want to start here. And we're not talking about somebody understanding the need for a Savior. For them, the faith really is about them, and we've got to get this in the right order. It starts with Jesus. Everything about the faith starts with our Lord and God. He is the subject. We are the object. And then finally, as we see what Jesus was involved in the midst of the gospel, trying to let people know before Abraham was, I am. We need to see once again that a Pentecost miracle, as we talked about last week, truly is possible. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, and somehow, that's our goal in life. Find a time, find a place, find a way. And even as the Holy Spirit allows us, as he opens the door to us, and allows us to talk about things that we are comfortable talking about, things that, as we talk to other people, well, no, I wouldn't be very good talking about this, this, or this, but I have no problem talking about that. We can share the good news. And prayerfully, before people are called home, even tragically, that opportunity may come to us where we can share in the lives of some people, even from my own family for the first time, what the gospel is really about. Friends, we're going to spend our lives trying to understand what God has done for us, trying to ascertain what his will really is for us, trying to see what is his will versus what is actually disguised as our will or the will of sin. But as we look to Jesus Christ, we keep that message clear and simple, and with an eye towards understanding that because of what he has done, all we need to do is share the good news of a Savior who loves us. You got that? Amen. And so now, my friends, we confess our Christian faith then to the words of the Athanasian Creed. We're going to do it responsibly. It's in our service folders. We also have it up on the screen. Because of the length, I will ask you to remain seated. Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith. And the Catholic faith is this. the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another.
But the Godhead of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is one. The glory equal, the majesty full eternal.
Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, Son eternal, Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet, there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
Just as there are not three uncreated or three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite.
In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord. Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords.
Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by any.
The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone.
The Holy Spirit is the Father and the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding.
Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after another. None is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped.
Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus.
But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man.
He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man born from the substance of his mother in this age.
Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul, human flesh.
Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity.
Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ.
One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God.
One altogether. Not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person.
For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ,
who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead,
ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
At his coming, all people will rise again, their bodies, and give an account concerning their own deeds.
And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire.
This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved.
We receive our offerings. A prayer has been requested on behalf of Pam Arndt, who will be receiving a special procedure this coming week. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O God, the author of our being, the source of our blessings, the Holy Lord who lives forever, we thank and praise you, but by the light by which we come to know you, and for your mercy by which we come to worship you in love and trust. O God the Father, we thank you for our creation and your daily care for us, your blessings that are new every morning. Blessed Son, Savior of the world, build your church on earth, draw all people to yourself, as you have achieved our salvation by your suffering, death, and resurrection. Blessed Holy Spirit, be with us as you bring us to continued saving faith and growing in that faith in Jesus Christ and giving us spiritual life in him. O Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep us in fellowship with you. Lord, in your mercy. Shine in our hearts, dear Lord. Increase in us the knowledge of your glory that shines in the face of Christ. Help us to know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Uphold us in times of temptation. Fill us with holy thoughts and desires that we may worship you with fervent prayer. Walk before you in holy obedience and devotion. Lord, in your mercy. Protect us in all of our times of trouble. Be with all of those people that are going through difficulties. Defend your church. Pour out your spirit on all flesh so that the very ends of the earth may acknowledge you and worship you as our one true God. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. O Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep us in fellowship with you. Bless and keep us by your steadfast love. Look in compassion on all who do not know and love you, the only true God. Feed the hungry, comfort the sorrowing, strengthen the weak. Restore the erring, heal the sick, especially those that we have lifted up before you. Uphold the bereaved, and if any others wish to be remembered in our prayers this day, look on them in your mercy and give them their desires according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayer. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In these last days you have poured out your Holy Spirit on your church, that your sons and daughters might proclaim the wonders of your salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon your gathered people, that faithfully eating and drinking the body and blood of your Son, we may go forth to proclaim his salvation to the ends of the earth. Hear us as we pray in his name the prayer he taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Our closing prayers at the bottom of page 10 in our service folders are up on the screen. Please stand as we pray together. Blessed Lord, your delight is to love us with the never-failing love of the Father, expressed through the Son and revealed by the light of the Spirit. Grant us to know you in the mystery of the Trinity and to confess the saving work of the unity to all the ends of the earth, that others may know with us the delight of your will and rejoice in the salvation your mercy has accomplished. For you, Lord, are one God whom we know as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Once again, to all of our dads, a blessed Father's Day. We've got a special gift for our dads as you leave this morning. And for everybody else, enjoy your day. Go in peace and serve the Lord.